Welcome to Gay Geek Bizarre, episode 4, and it's a Monday, May 23rd, 2016. I am Nard.
And I am Ray.
Yes. And welcome to our podcast that, we're just bringing it right now. We bring you gay topics, geek news, and...
just some bizarre shit.
Exactly, that's right. All right, so... let's go on with our gay. Okay. So, today, this month is Pride Month.
Well, no, June. Not this month.
June. Next month. Next That's month. Right. You're right. You're right. I kept thinking today is June.
No.
It's next month.
Trust me, the payday ain't till the 1st. I know exactly how far away June 1st is from today.
All right. Okay.
I got to make it through Memorial Weekend without a paycheck.
Okay, so this is about, you know, Pride. It's Pride weekend next month. So why some queer people are boycotting LA Pride? So this is from Vice.com. So the world's first organized Pride parades took place simultaneously in New York City and Hollywood back in 1970. So the last Los Angeles March was organized by Christopher Street West, an organization founded in commemoration of the Stonewall riots. Yeah, we all know that, right? So it's supposed to, these parades are supposed to symbolize the moment when the queer community literally took to the streets with the unanimous proclamation that we are here and everywhere. CSW has remained at the wheel of the now colossal LA Pride event every June. However, over the years, the organization has faced criticism and raised eyebrows for some of its decisions, like the time they named Paris Hilton and her mother Grand Marshals of Pride. Why? The pop culture icon's response to being asked to be a major part of LGBTQ history and remembrance? Really? Paris Hilton? Really? Okay, so this year, CSW sparked controversy following several major changes to LA Pride. The first and most symbolic was the rebranding of Pride into a music festival featuring headliners Carly Rae Jepsen and Charlie XCX. Or should I say, what is that?
That's XCX, yeah. Charlie XCX.
Is that
that's
how you
say it? That's her name.
That's not a Roman numeral.
That's the artist.
Is the artist. Okay, so this led to an increase in ticket prices from $20 a day to $35 a day or $55 for a weekend pass. So the Friday night trans social celebration was cut down from 4 to 2 hours, and the Friday night dyke march was trimmed from 7 hours to 2 hours. But the traditional free Friday was eliminated altogether. The fact that LA Pride is in LGBTQ is only mentioned as a footnote on the event's website. So it's become commercialized now. And it just got concerts and everything. Just like in Houston.
Yeah.
I am like in Houston. It's really bad that actually companies or restaurants or brands like Budweiser or even Coca-Cola or whatever, they would be showing up, having their floats bigger than the ones that are nonprofit organizations and stuff like that. So
yeah, most of those are sponsors of the parade.
Yes, they're sponsors, so they could. It's commercialized now. It's not really about the marching. It's not about being proud to be gay. But it's now, how am I going to show my product? This is what I'm going to do. That's what's happening now.
But it takes a lot of money to put on pride parades and do events and get stars in and all that kind of stuff. So. I mean, it's that give and take thing. You either pay for it with ticket sales, or you get sponsorships, or you do a little bit of both to make the money to cover the revenue and have seed money for next year.
All right. But what do you think? Do you think it still represents awareness at this point, or just really now sheer commercialism?
I don't know, because I don't go to the one here anymore just because it's so damn hot and it's so ridiculous.
Oh, you have a different reason why. Okay.
Yeah, so for me, it's more about, I'm not about the big crowds anymore. I'm not about the damn heat here in Houston anymore.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying
I'm
you're
not
a crank?
About going to a little small bar being packed with that, trying to squeeze 1,000 people in it so they can make a buck on selling overpriced drinks for the night.
So you're saying you're a cranky old man now?
Yes, pretty much.
Okay, good. So, good to know. Okay. So I haven't
I get
been...
my LGBT on by watching Netflix.
Okay. Netflix and chill.
Netflix and chill. So.
Okay, you're too far. I might be you. Yeah. I thought you were good. There. Okay, oh. Then you can lean down.
Okay,
so... to me, I haven't been to a Pride Parade for a long time. Not as a marcher. I haven't marched for about three, four years now.
After your little Hello Kitty episode?
Oh, that was, I don't know, 8 years ago? That's a long time ago. Yeah, it's been a long time since I actually really participated in a march. And I usually just watch. And they moved it here in Houston. They moved it to downtown, remember?
Well, I mean, at some point, things have to change. They can't always stay the same.
Yeah, that's true.
Trying to put on a parade in Montrose area is a freaking nightmare, mainly because the streets are so old. They're all the overgrown trees. You try to build a float, because I know when I did Pride, at least two of my floats got tore up from tree branches that they said, oh, you got 14-foot clearance. No, you don't.
You don't.
So, you know, it's stuff like that. In downtown, you don't have to worry about all that.
Yeah.
Plus, there's infrastructure for parking garages and all this other stuff. So.
Actually, it was easy. Whenever there's a parade there, it is easier because the last time we went to a parade...
was the art car parade.
Yeah, the art car parade. It was easy to park.
Easy to park, easy to get around.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, everything around downtown was kind of crowded and busy, but I mean, it was, you know. Mm-hmm. And I went last year to Pride downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't as bad because the buildings was full when the breeze was hitting the buildings and pushing down on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got on a street that was in between two buildings, you actually had a little breeze.
Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, but you know, I'm not a big going to the Pride stuff because it's usually a bunch of young drunk people acting a fool, and I'm past that. I ain't about that life no more.
You're a cranky old man now.
Bitter, cranky old gay man now.
Okay. All right, let's get on to the other story, Ray. I think, Ray, you can be a good participant in these parties.
What, gay sex roulette parties?
Yes.
I don't think so.
You don't think
so? My brain's not wired that way. I wish it was. I wish I could just go fucking stick my dick in any hole that was offered. I could probably have a lot more fun than I usually do.
Okay. So you want to go for it? I'll do it.
All right. You can read it.
Okay. So, you guys will know what this is all about. This is from Instinct Magazine, and it's about gay sex roulette parties. And when we go out on the pool looking for some action, it always seems like a game of Russian roulette. Is this one going to be a real crazy, possessive, chemical dependent, looking for money, or an STD farm? Wait,
or all of the above?
Or the above. Isn't there supposed to be just one bullet in the gun and not all of these? That can happen, yeah. So we take a lot of risks when there's sex involved, and yes, HIV/AIDS is still part of the equation. It should not be taken lightly.
But the whole thing, life is Russian roulette.
That's true, but this is really, really walking on the wild side at this point. So apparently
I don't think so. I think these people are making decisions based on what they want to happen.
Yeah.
And they don't care, or they don't understand the consequences of it, but they're going out and having fun doing what they want to do.
Yeah.
I don't think it's Russian roulette. I think it's either you're making a choice to risk because that's what you need to get your high on,
mm-hmm.
or... you just don't care.
Yeah. Well, for one thing, this is one factor here, okay? I'm just going to shortcut it a little bit. So there are some parties known as blue parties because of the antiviral PrEP medication. And it's made available to guests to reduce their chance on contracting HIV. Hmm. I mean, it's PrEP parties, practically yeah. PrEP parties. Okay, let me tell you something. I went to a party one time, and... It's not a prep party. It's not. I did not go to a sex roulette party. I did not. It was just a game night. So I went there, but then they were talking about their experiences. That one time, yeah, we were in a party, and one of them right in front of me was taking a blue pill, and I was thinking, yeah, I forgot it's my time of the day. I need to take my blue pill. Okay, so yeah, you're taking prep right in front of me. So what is he saying? Is he saying that he wants to have sex with everyone in the room, something like that? But anyway, so yeah, that's what they do. I mean, I did meet some people who are into it.
Well, I mean, it's no different than going to a bathhouse.
Yeah, that's true. But
I mean,
then.
let's face it, gay men have been having unprotected, risky sex since day one. And back in the 60s and 70s, sticking a gay pride month and all the stuff that's going on, there are numerous documentaries, and there's some really good ones about the bathhouses of New York back in the heyday before HIV/AIDS. And people going out on the docks and having sex in these old warehouses where the holes would fall through and you could fall through and drop into the Hudson River and die and all this other stuff. People were taking risks back then because they wanted to fuck. And that's what you make that decision of, to me, when you have sex with somebody else, you're making a choice to either risk catching something from them, or you're saying, I'm going to wear a condom, or I'm going to reduce my sexual risk factor by not going out and having random sex.
Yeah, but the story here is about sex roulette parties that they do invite one, they don't know, nobody knows which one has HIV, but then
But you don't necessarily know that there's only not one that doesn't have
yeah,
it.
that
There are many men out there that don't go get tested and don't know they
yes.
have it. So don't
So
act like it's, oh, we're inviting one. I mean,
one of them is HIV positive.
this is the way you have to look at it in my point of view.
All
When you
right.
go have unprotected sex with somebody, that person's HIV positive.
You have to assume
You have to
immediately.
assume that they're HIV positive, and you're taking that risk regardless.
Yeah. And I guess
And the
that's.
more risk you take is the more how much you want to, whether you want to get be risky or you want to feel that rush of maybe or maybe not. But I mean, come on. I mean, it's, I don't think it's, they might be having these parties, but here's the deal. People are choosing to do this.
Yeah.
Nobody's being forced.
Yeah, so what's happening here is actually it's a sport. It became a sport for us because okay, let's face it, HIV is not really a it's
It's
not
not
a
the killer
life-threatening
it
anymore.
was, yes.
Like it was before. So it's going to be an inconvenience. So what happens now, these parties that they attend to, they risk that, but they treat it as a game. As Oh, okay. So, I guess I got the bullet, So that's what they would say. And that's really risky behavior. Of course, we know that.
Yeah.
It's just that it's a game.
But they also don't
Can
say what's the age group of any of this in that article either. So, and you can read the article on the Gay Geek Bazaar Facebook page,
Yes.
because I know there, well, there are people my age, which is young 40s, taking as much risk as some of the 20 somethings out there that are more sexually active than some of the young 40s.
Yes.
But if people are going to do this, but I mean, when I used to do Bear Watch, there were seating parties
Yeah.
held at Bear Watch
That's right.
where people thought that if they got HIV, they'd be more socially accepted by other people.
Really?
Yes,
They're
that because they were gay and because they wasn't positive, they felt like they were ostracized or something.
really?
Yes,
They're ostracized because they're not
yes. And then there
positive.
are those people that got. Went and got HIV positive just because they wanted the perks and benefits of getting free Medicaid,
Oh, I heard
free
about
all that
that.
kind of stuff. There's a big thing of that because there are several that live here in Houston. So.
But for some people, contracting HIV, although it is unfortunate, but they turned out to be better. They felt better because they are now aware. They became more conscientious. They became more tame, I guess. They're not so
Yeah.
wild anymore, or they become more responsible. That I mean, there are some negative sides, there are positive
Positive.
sides, and I know emotional wise.
Yeah.
So yeah, I could see that. I could see that can happen. Okay, so shall we go on with your gay bears thing?
Okay, it's not a gay bear thing.
It's this is a title like
There's
war.
five harmful lies about gay bears that need to stop, but this is five harmful lies about most of the gay community. And it does, you don't have to be a bear or whatever, because there are a lot of fat guys that don't consider themselves bears. Mm-hmm. This article popped up, and then another article popped up in the last week, and they kind of contradict each other, and I thought it was interesting to talk about. Five harmful lies about gay bears that need to stop. There seems to be a number of stereotypes about gay bears born from a place of ignorance and misinformation. Here are five lies to be debunked. Now, we're going to go into these five topics, and we're not going to really get into it that much, but I wanted to talk about some of them kind of like bullet points and then talk about the other article about that came out.
Okay.
All gay bears are obese. That is not true, because as most of the gay culture has gotten older in the last 10 years, they've got tired of being Twinkie boys and shaving all the time. So now they have hair, and apps like Scruff pop up, and they're like, oh, we're bears now.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have hair. So the whole term of bear is a totally different definition these days than what it was when I originally started off and I got labeled as a bear because I was fat and hairy. When really, inside, I was a twink yearning to get out.
Mm-hmm. So, but now you're just...
I was trans twinkish.
So before you were... fat and hairy. Now you are fat, hairy, and bitter.
Yes, pretty much. Pretty much. So no, not all gay bears are obese.
Okay.
As a group, gay bears have low self-esteem. They said that is not true.
It's not true.
And
either.
This is where the other article comes in. Bears more likely to have lower self-esteem study. Men in the bear community experience lower physical health, lower self-esteem, and engage in higher-risk sexual practices than other gay men, new research has revealed. A research paper in the Clinical Journal of Nursing focused on the physical, psychosocial, and social health of men who identify as bears was undertaken by academics at the University of Miami. The paper reviewed 11 research studies that focused on bear subculture in America and identified some of the main issues facing men in that community. It found that men who identify as bears are typically hair sweet and husky and have a higher body mass index than other men in the gay community. Despite the health risks that are associated with increased BMI, the promotion of certain physical appearances that includes a higher BMI is important for men who identify as bear, the paper reads. It helps them to recognize one another, strengthen communal bonds, and promote a gay identity that's masculine, sexual, and mature. As a result of the pressures around body image that are prevalent in the gay community, the paper also suggests that bears often find it hard to grow up and assimilate in society. So all this stuff goes into like, which feeds kind of gay culture. But you also have the other side of it. There are people that are not bears that have the same issue.
Mm-hmm.
They might not be overweight, but because they're skinny or they're short or what. I mean, it's the whole thing. It's like nitpicking at every little thing in the gay community. And I think it's about time that everybody just stops and says, look, not everybody likes big men. Not everybody likes little skinny men. I mean, everybody has different body types, and accept what you like and be happy with it. And also understand that maybe because of something in your physical appearance, somebody's not going to like you, because you, not everybody's going to like everybody else.
Yeah. I could relate to that, because, you know, I'm a chaser myself. I'm a smaller guy, and I would say, in Devin's words, I'm pixelated to other bears, because many are bear for bear. So I'm not really existent. I'm non-existent to some people. But then there are some people who like chasers.
Yeah.
So yeah, I could relate to that. That different types and different attractions. Yeah, that happens a lot.
And then there are some bears that you just had to be a warm body, and they're all over it.
Yeah, that's right.
So anyway, so that kind of goes to the article, the whole love self-esteem. I kind of have issues with that myself about whether that's really true or if it's not true. So gay bears aren't athletic. That's not true. Have you seen most of the softball teams?
The softball teams, we have bear teams who are very athletic. They dive, they catch the ball, they hit the ball through the park. Through the fence and everything, and over the fence, I mean. And there are many who are really athletic and faster, probably faster than me, and more muscular and everything.
Gay bears are typically older. I don't find that true. I think in the last 10 years, that demographic has switched big time.
So there are a lot of younger bears.
People who identify as bears who are not what traditionally I would consider bears, but they're a little chunky and hairy, so they're like, oh, I'm a bear.
Yeah. No, I guess
maybe a lot of the scruff crowd.
Scruff crowd?
Scruff.
Yeah, scruff crowd, but they're thinking that they're bears because they're chunky.
They're all like, I'm a bear.
Yeah, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, what do y'all think about all of that? Do you think that we all just need to quit using terms about each other and just like love the people we love and accept what we can accept about ourselves and move on with life?
The only reason we have these labels are because of those chat sites. It's just easier to filter people. Filter your type. The reason why there's a bear, there's an otter, there's a cub, there are these titles, these labels, so you can put a checkbox on that on your filter and search, so it's easier. Yeah. If you do not like chasers, you do not check the checkbox of chasers. You just check bears. So when you say search, it shows you only bears. That's pretty much why you have those labels, okay? That's what I in my experience, after all these years, all the way from Bear 411 to Growler to Scruff to Grinder. Well, I don't know about Grinder, but you know, all these ones that have filters, they always have these labels. So it helps a lot in filtering. All right, let's go. I want to go geek out, right?
Let's go geek out.
Okay, I would love to take this because, when I read about this, this is something that I could get by and it's not that expensive. Okay, Star Trek, did you write this? Yeah. It's a universal translator. So, okay, translation technology has just reached a whole new level with Pilot, named the Pilot. The world's first smart earpiece that can translate foreign languages in real time. So two people who speak different languages can actually understand each other using Pilot and engage in normal conversation, which is great. So developed by a New York-based Waverly Labs, Pilot is a three-part system, two small Bluetooth earbuds, one for each interlocutor. What does that mean, the ears? And a smartphone app doing the actual translation.
No, that means one for each person talking.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
The other person can understand that.
So there will be always there will obviously be some delay. So if you tell a joke, then it's 5 minutes later. No, not 5 minutes.
Like Zootopia and the sloths.
The sloths. Okay. So, there will be some delay. It's not exactly real time, but it's pretty close, which is great. The initial version will support a number of European languages: English, Spanish, French, Italian. Other languages like Hindi, Semitic, East Asian, Arabic, Slavic, and African will be included in subsequent versions, but you'll have to pay for them unless you pre-order the system. It's really cheap. Andrew Ochoa, founder of Waverly, said he got the idea for the device after meeting a French girl. It's a dream, you know. Yeah, he said, life untethered, free of language barriers. It's just that it's no longer a dream anymore. Yes, and it costs I think the Kickstarter right now, or whatever. I don't know if it's a Kickstarter. But it's about $120, $129, something
but
like that.
But does it get the, what's the word I'm using? Not the dialect, but the...
The intonation?
The slang.
The slang, probably not.
Because... You know, if gay men get this and they take to another country, they'll be like, nice butt. Yeah. Hey, want to suck my dick? Are you a bottom? Are you a top?
And then it would say something different?
Something totally different and be a very confused individual.
You mean you want me to be under you? I want to be bottom? So, yeah, it's...
And I noticed that...
It's going to be interesting.
Tongalog's not in there yet.
No, well, no. It's very far from it.
So I won't be able to talk to you.
Well, you talk to me now.
Yeah, but it's very hard to translate something.
But you know, when they talk to me, my mouth moves differently from the sound that comes out. You know, I'm dubbed in English.
Yeah, okay.
You know, right? Just like a kung fu movie.
Okay. All right, one more geek. If y'all haven't seen this, I actually stumbled upon this Sunday morning on Facebook, and I shared it. Robert Kirkman has a new show in the works. It's called Outcast. Episode 1's free online to watch. I posted it on the Gay Geek Bazaar page, so you can watch it there. And it's called Outcast, Episode 1, A Darkness Surrounds Him. A beautifully dark series is headed your way, which the first episode is for free. From the creator of The Walking Dead, Robert Kirkman presents Outcast. Prepare yourself for the debut Friday, June 3rd at 10 p.m. So this is going to be on Cinemax, and I don't know where else I'm going to have to illegally go get it. But I got kind of, when I watched it, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be pretty good. because it looks like it's kind of like a god demon thing going on. Good and evil type thing.
You know, Robert Kirkman is a very talented creator, because what am I reading? Indestructible? Incredible? I forgot. It's one of his comic books. It's about a guy who is a son of a superhero.
Yeah.
And it's all about him. And it's a comic book. It's a good story. And it's by Robert Kirkman. And of course, The Walking Dead. He has that too. And now this podcast.
The spinoff, Fear the Walking Dead. And now this. So, plus some of the other creators from The Walking Dead have other shows going on. So, but check it out. I thought it was great. You can watch the first episode free online. So go check it out and let us know what you think.
Yep.
And now on to Maynard's Bazaar.
Okay, the bazaar here is similar to what we had here a couple of months ago. I think it was by KFC. No, who was it?
Somebody was doing the black burger.
It's a black burger?
I think it's BK.
Oh, it's black burger during the Halloween. I remember now.
Was it Burger King, black burger bun or something like
that?
Yeah,
it was. Yeah. But this time it's in China. So McDonald's released a green burger in China.
Well, they have to release it as a green burger because it's so loaded with chemicals it would never turn green here in America.
Yeah, probably not. So, to mark the Angry Birds movie release, yeah, it's all about Angry Birds now, like
but the movie did very good on the box office.
Oh, yes, number one right now. So, McDonald's in China is serving up Angry Birds themed food, including this bad piggy burger, which is, if you play Angry Birds, the pigs there are green. That's why it's, you know. So anyway, according to the website, that's the same. It's actually called a naughty green pork burger. That's said the burger wasn't half bad, I think.
That sounds like something you'd get at a bear run.
Green burger.
Green pork burger.
Green pork burger. But then how can you tell if the bread is bad if it's green? But you know, because mold is green.
Well, like I said, it's McDonald's. The bread will never go bad. It's been proven. They've had sandwiches sitting there for 5 years and nothing's ever happened to them.
Right. Okay. So it wasn't as large or as succulent as the advertisement made it appear. But then again, they never are. The burger included a pork patty. Pork patty. An egg.
Why don't you
lettuce.
Put eggs on everything?
I don't know. I don't know. Well, it could be, you know, stir fried. A mysterious sauce with a hint of jalapenos and the notorious green bun. So I'm intrigued by this. You know, when you eat that, what do you think the color of your poop would be? Green also?
Probably.
Remember we didn't drink the purple drink in
purple
New Orleans?
Drink? Yeah.
The purple drink that you drink in from Cafe Lafitte's Blacksmith in New Orleans. That's in Bourbon Street corner, St. Philip. When you drink the purple drink there, your poop becomes green. And I guess if you eat these burgers here, it would be the same.
It is not good bottom drink.
It's not good bottom drink, that's right. Okay, so those are our stories for this show. And I hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you, Caesar, for the great articles. And Ray also posted some of there. And if you want to see all the articles that we've been talking about, just go to facebook.com/gaygeekbazaar. And you can email us your comments. You can email us, yes, show at gaygeekbazaar.com. I slipped in that one. I get so used to it.
For y'all listeners that have just noticed, we used to do a podcast called Bear Podcast.
Yeah.
For 10 God. Years.
It was 10 years of podcasting.
It was a
so.
Freudian bear paw slip.
All right. So where can they call us for voicemail?
They can call and leave us a voicemail at 281-947-2327. That is 281-947-2327. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're now on SoundCloud and Google Play.
Yes.
Soon we'll be back on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
Yeah, I still have to do that. But anyway, so the phone number, guys, is 281-947-BEAR. I still got the B-E-A-R there.
But he's giving me grief about putting articles in here about bear stuff.
Yes, that's right. But then the phone number is still bear. Okay, so also go to the official website at gaygeekbazaar.com. Thank you for listening, guys, and hope you catch you all on the next episode. Okay, bye.
Say it. You know you want to say it.
I'm not going to say it.
Many wolves and many hugs.
No. Wrong show.